All right, welcome back. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We are in Austin, Texas at ChefConf. We have some really interesting guests talking about DevOps and this sort of space in general, which is kind of cool if you're a developer. It maybe it's not an area that you're used to learning about, and so it's been really fun for me. Hopefully it is as fun for you. We have a special guest. Tell us who you are and what you do, my friend.
Sure. I'm Nirmal Mehta with Booz Allen Hamilton. I'm a chief technologist in our edge and emerging technology division under the Strategic Innovations Group. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Docker captain. I'm a DevOps subject matter expert. And I love to talk about how to improve organizations' IT delivery.
Busy guy, man. Tell us a little bit about your organization.
We're a premier IT consulting and system integrator, mostly focusing on government in the Beltway. But we work on lots of challenging client projects, solving some of the tough issues around how to integrate and improve IT systems in the government and to better provide services to warfighters, to civilians, to citizens, to the world. And really pride ourselves on finding unique and emerging technology solutions to that world's needs.
So let's talk about, because you as an officer in this company, you have probably...
I'm not an officer.
Sorry, what was your title?
I'm a chief technologist.
Chief technologist.
Yeah.
Yes, but the word chief is
I
in
know,
there.
I know,
so as a chief technologist, you have seen a lot of issues.
Absolutely.
In the way people have done software. What are some of the ones that bubble up to the top? And then we can get into the technologies that you're using to sort of help ameliorate those problems. So let's talk about sort of the common challenges that you're seeing as the chief technologist.
So, the government IT space is no stranger to challenges, to slow adoption of new technology and practices. And so some of the challenges are around compliance. Security is a big space that spends a lot. We spend a lot of time around compliance, going through technology refresh cycles, improving delivery through different kinds of contracts, and the biggest challenge around that is really changing how the culture of IT is delivered through our government clients and customers, both through contracting, through how we do the processes of delivering software.
Sure.
And of course, that leads to DevOps, which is a great... So I think the government sphere is really ripe for DevOps transformation.
Right.
They're typically lagging just far enough behind that when there's a big revolution like this happening, you can leapfrog right into it and really embrace it because there's so much low-hanging fruit there.
Sure. So. You talked about sort of a culture, right? It feels like DevOps is more of a culture than necessarily a technology.
Yeah,
what do you think about
that? I get into philosophical debates with folks around this. So it's obviously a combination of culture and technology. What percentage of that is up for debate at times? A lot of folks think it's just a pure technology adoption with some cultural change. I'm of more of the belief that it's a majority cultural change because, you know, at the end of the day, we're humans, and IT delivery is about humans interacting with other humans.
Right.
And it's a cultural change first and foremost in terms of improving processes. To me, technology is the safety blanket, the security blanket, the foundation that you can that you need to establish the trust when you're going through these process changes and these cultural changes.
I love the term culture and trust, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So like in DevOps, one of the big things is automation. And in order to automate, you have to have testing.
Right.
So technology plays the biggest role in testing. That provides the safety blanket for your operations folks to be comfortable with letting the developers push to production all the time, right? So that it's an enabler. It's the foundation for it, but it's not the whole thing. It's process change and cultural change is most of it.
Got it. So you're talking about sort of the culture and the process. There's got to be a time where you went into a shop and there's just nightmares everywhere. Can you tell us sort of, obviously don't tell us any names and who did it or what, but tell us a little bit about what the nightmare was and what was some of the sort of the techniques that you used to help culture, process, and products sort of get in there and fix these things?
Absolutely. So. Just like a lot of different IT shops, one of the biggest challenges is it takes half a year to deploy a next release to production, to do any kind of change. I've been to shops where you had one organization that controlled IP addresses, another organization that controlled, you know, the virtual machine, another right. that controlled the Windows operating system on there, another one that controlled, you know, DNS. And so one organization I went to, it was a 186-step process to get a virtual machine.
Holy
cow. And it took 125 days plus to
for
get
a virtual
machine.
You could literally buy a machine in less time and have
well,
it in your
imagine
office.
How long it takes to buy a machine
oh,
then, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So there's a lot of low-hanging fruit there.
Right.
And so, you know, how do you tackle that? So the main issue is you need to go into an organization that and convince that the people that are protecting their little part of their workflow and convince them that they're not going to lose their job.
Right.
They're not going to lose their power, for lack of a term, or worth. And that overall, that transformation is actually going to benefit everyone holistically, right? And it's more of orienting the mission, the incentives, and kind of like a little bit of behavioral economic kind of psychology going on, but you're trying to realign the incentives for the organization toward improving the actual service delivery instead of just protecting their part of the process chain, right? So that's one challenge. The other challenge is introducing technologies in a way that doesn't scare all the folks that are working there day to day. There's a lot of server huggers out there. There's some fence sitters, but there's very little mavericks that are trying new things out and are really embracing it. So it's how do we drag those server huggers like into a more automated, more, you know, agile, overloaded term, but
yeah, you know, I feel like it is.
Have more agility, have more flexibility to actually deliver service and not scare them that they automatically clam up and say no.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very fascinating going through those kind of processes, and it's very challenging.
It feels like the majority of the challenge is a human challenge.
I think so.
So as you sort of ironing those out and you're fixing the politics of that, you mentioned a lot of tools that you sort of have. You use are your go-to tools to help sort of with that process. Let's start with the first one, was Docker.
Yep, absolutely.
So tell us about Docker and why it is that you like it.
So the main core benefit of Docker is it has a great interface to both developers and operations folks to have a shared conversation around how to deploy their service to an environment.
Right.
It has one of the best kind of UX experiences from a developer point of view because they can interact with it on their own workstations and their own local environment. And then the operations folks can easily take that and drop it into a production environment if they needed to. And so that's the main thing I like about Docker. It's really changed how the conversation goes with respect to that cultural change. Now you have an actual technology / artifact
right.
that you can have those conversations around. On some of our projects, we integrate Docker as the application deployment mechanism with Chef as also another piece of infrastructure as code, right? And so it's important to have those artifacts in a version control system that can be the human programming interface mm-hmm. between groups of people when they need to get their services out to production in a faster way. If they're trying to go DevOps, you have to start the conversation somewhere.
Sure.
Docker is one place where the developers can start to adopt it really quickly. I think overall, like implementing good process, like CI/CD tool chains, automation, and doing tons of testing, regardless if you're testing against Docker or Chef or other infrastructure service or and other code, just doing it is like critical. And so most of the technologies focus on anything that can help automate, you know, that 125-step process or whatever, what automates all those steps, right? Or eliminates them completely.
So when you say CI/CD, you mean continuous integration, continuous delivery, correct?
Correct.
So one of the confusions that I had, and maybe you can help clear this up, is there's Docker, it makes like little virtual machines
Docker containers are not virtual machines.
No, well, I mean, for a developer, right? I'm going for developers. They're like, but they're not, they're containers in the sense that you can sort of build on top of them, and you're not really making a virtual machine, but you're making sort of part of one.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting technology, if you ask
absolutely.
Me. But what does it have to do with Chef, and how do the two coexist? That's where my question
is. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're at a crossroads right now where not everything is containerizable easily. There's tons of legacy. You know, the term is mode one kind of you know, systems. I hear that every once in a while, but there's tons of legacy systems, maybe things that are not easily containerizable, or you don't have enough resources to actually go through the full transition. But you need to start somewhere, and you need to adopt infrastructure as code to actually get some of the benefits of automating. It doesn't behoove an organization to skip that. So that's where Chef comes in. I think there's a period of time where those two can coexist, where you can use Chef to integrate and deploy and manage the configuration of a lot of your legacy systems, your support systems, the platforms that actually support the containers.
Right.
And then using Docker containers for the actual application. Now, there is also Habitat, right?
Right.
So there's like an interesting piece there, because Habitat fits kind of with Chef and kind of with, well, Docker in a way.
Yeah.
Like it can output to Docker and it kind of packages it together. So it's very interesting to see where that's going to go to kind of get to the next step past this intermediate time period where you can kind of run a lot of different configuration management systems at the same time.
So you bring up an interesting point, right? But because first of all, Docker is container, and sorry if I misspoke.
Yes.
How is Habitat sort of like a container definition?
Yeah, so, and I'm not an expert on Habitat.
No, but it's brand new, right?
Yeah,
it's
and,
like brand
and,
new.
That's what you saw. Yeah, so it's more about packaging up dependencies and a lot of the auxiliary systems that if you were to go and build out, you could choose your own components and build that out, or you could just use Habitat where it's kind of built into the runtime itself. From a more technical standpoint, from my perspective, it almost is like a Erlang runtime that can support any language. It's like that concept of having a very small runtime that has like a lot of services under the hood that your application hooks into, but it's transparent to everyone. Service discovery, secrets management, clustering, that kind of stuff. And so I think Habitat has a really good, I don't know if it's good yet, still early days, but it's positioning itself for a lot of the distributed application architectures that are coming out, which are, if anyone out there has dealt with distributed application architectures, it's still a very challenging thing.
It's a pain.
It is a pain.
If you have a software challenge and you use distributed architecture, now you have two challenges, right?
Yeah. The promise is there, and if it works, it works, and you can scale, which is the idea behind using a distributed application architecture.
Sure.
But it's not for free.
Right.
And there is some ops work to make those systems, you know, reliant and resistant to, you know, the ad hoc nature of cloud services and things like that. So
what you saw, does Habitat sort of solve some of those problems, or is it on its
way? I think
it
has the potential to solve some of those problems. It's going to be... It really hinges on community. Mm-hmm. Building communities is not easy.
No.
Chef has experience in it, and it's tough. Docker has experience in it, it's tough. Red Hat has experience in it, it's tough. Yeah. Microsoft has experience, it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's very tough. So, the technology could be, you know, to the moon, but if there's no one using it, there's no people that understand it, can help solve your problems, no community, it's dead in the water, right? So. It's Chef's challenge from this day forward to build that community, to build that trust in that platform.
So there was a number of other technologies that you mentioned that you sort of like to work on. What were some of the other tools in your arsenal to sort of grease the wheels of DevOps?
So Jenkins is a big one. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone touches Jenkins or some of those kind of tools. I think one space that's very interesting is the monitoring side. Mm-hmm. So we work a lot. We're building a partnership with Sysdig right now. Container and new distributed application monitoring is a very new space, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for really cool monitoring to happen there. And then one of the bigger ones is compliance. Handling and managing compliance and going through the checks that we have to go through, right?
Especially with government clients.
Absolutely. I mean, we practically invented that space, right? For all intents and purposes. And so I think the advent of infrastructure as code, I think bringing the security tool chains and the compliance tool chains for compliance, take them out of Word documents and spreadsheets.
Operationalizing them.
Operationalizing them as infrastructure as code, as testable artifacts, and then bring them earlier on into the release cycle. A lot of organizations, and I'm doing a talk on this tomorrow, but a lot of organizations, they don't even give their developers access to the vulnerability scans, right? So how
can you fix it?
Right, exactly. How is a developer supposed to be faster when they don't even know if their application's insecure, what the security problems are until sometime in the future?
Right.
That they get a meeting or a report. And that doesn't make any sense anymore, right? All that information needs to be available on the onset, because it's a lot, this is the Kanban, all this DevOps stuff. It's a lot easier to fix stuff early on in the process than it is at the end, right?
What did you think of Chef Inspect with respect to compliance management and testing?
So Inspect is great. We use it for some of our projects right now. It's still a little early days, but the idea of kind of unit testing your infrastructure is wonderful. I hope the community grows around Inspect. I like how it's not just a Chef thing. Mm-hmm. It can bolt onto other technologies as well. And there's a lot of opportunity there to start the dialogue around using compliance, transforming into more of testing your infrastructure against rules, right? That you can codify in Inspect. For example,
compliance feels like a squishy sort of thing for me, because I don't deal with customers that are as compliant heavy as your customers. So what are the kinds of things that you're testing when you're testing compliance?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. So everything from the operating system configuration, which mm-hmm. is one of the main parts, but there's some areas around there. You have to make sure everything's audited, right? So you can test to make sure that the auditing service is running. I'm not going to say that Inspect and you can unit test everything out of compliance.
Right, it feels like you can't.
But there's like a good, there's zero, right? And then there's 100%.
Right.
There's a range there where you could probably cover at least 70% as code. Mm-hmm. And then if the last percentage means, are you doing backups? Do you have a disaster recovery plan? Do you the kind of more softer things that you can spend the time on and kind of do on a more reoccurring basis.
Right.
But even those, why not store those documents as markdown in your Git server, right?
I see.
There's no reason why that can't be stored in a way that's auditable as well. And you could test a document to say, yes, we're going to do this. Yeah, is there a plan?
That's an interesting thing, because
there's no reason you can't do that.
I was just thinking, if you write this doc out, you could literally use an inspect test to say, is the doc there? When's the last time it's been updated?
Yeah, and there's really cool things you can start doing once you start capturing compliance or these artifacts around security as code. In the container use case, there's idea you can sign containers cryptographically. Why not package your document that says that application is compliant and checked and audited with your application, your Docker files, your chef cookbooks, whatever.
Sure.
Sign it cryptographically, and now you've got a unit that's compliant, has all the documentation that says it's compliant, signed off, and it has a hash that's you can't change it, and it's a runtime, right? You can run that thing wherever. That would be a great state, because then you don't have to, the main thing is we repeat the process of going through compliance so many times over and over again when 90% of it's the same on every project, right?
Right.
So there's no need for one group to make an application, get it, spend all the time getting it compliant and audited, and then not share that with an organization.
We don't have a lot of time left, so let's talk a little bit about your talk that you're giving. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Tell us a little bit about some of the stuff you're going to talk about.
So we actually kind of talked a lot about what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, but it's around how to get your organization to understand how to move compliance into DevOps and get to achieve the velocity that DevOps is supposed to achieve, but with compliance. And so it's around what questions you should be asking in your organization, how to transform, how a DevOps compliance framework looks like, and then doing a quick demo of Inspect and how that kind of works. So you get an idea of what the first step could be in your organization.
What are some questions around compliance that organizations should ask themselves that maybe there is no governing body that's requiring compliance, right, but you just sort of be compliant just on your own?
Yeah, so there's some folks in the industry that define compliance as a way to scale security. Mm-hmm. And so every organization needs to do that. So Every organization has compliance to an extent. One big piece that you could do is just start capturing your configuration as infrastructure as code and having that and bringing your compliance team into the process now and not at some date in the future when you're about to release. Mm-hmm. That's it.
So just literally just start doing the things you should be doing.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, you know, you shouldn't be excluding them from the compliance team from the conversation. You shouldn't be, you should be bringing them in. You know, DevOps is about inclusion. Mm-hmm. It's about bringing those teams together and operating human to human. So start doing that.
So we have about 2 minutes left. Can you tell us where people can go to find out more about the work that you do? Maybe where they can go to learn more about sort of DevOps in general and how to sort of operationalize this sort of security that you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to boozallen.com/digital, which is a landing page for our digital IT consulting practice. We also have we have an open source practice. So we have Booz Allen OpenTech at bot.io. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a way to easily containerize your application at codelift.io. So check those all out. And find me on Twitter at normalfaults. Anytime.
Hold on, you kind of dropped codelift.io on us.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay, so we developed a free SaaS application where you connect it to your GitHub repo. You pick your application, it scans your code, it automatically creates a Docker file and a compose file for you. So in 3 clicks, you can containerize your application.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for dropping that in, airlifting that in there at the end, buddy. Well,
no
thanks
worries.
So much for spending some time with us. And I have a gift I forgot last time. We have a little pocket monkey for you for being on our show. Thanks so
much. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Again, we're here in Austin for Chef Conf. My name is Seth Juarez. It's Channel 9. Stay tuned for the next interview. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be great. See you around.